new heights of glory, new ground to conquer, new places that I am taking you to. Everything is brand new. The old has passed away, and I am taking you into this new dispensation of time. Your weapons of warfare are mighty to tearing down the strongholds of darkness. But I am increasing the anointing upon my people who truly love me and who have paid the price to bring the harvest in. You shall see the waves of glory. Your eyes will see them. The wind is blowing. The wind is blowing stronger than ever before. I need to blow the strong wind to carry my glory throughout this universe. Get into the wind. Get into my glory. And allow me to fulfill all I've ever spoken in your life. Your life is not for naught. Your life is valuable. Many souls waiting for you, just you, to step into that place in my glory that will destroy all the darkness around about. You have stepped into a new dispensation of time that my church has never walked in before. So do not be surprised at what goes on around about you. But understand that I am God. I am the great I am, and I am on the move, and I am using each one of you to break down the strongholds of darkness and to bring the light in all of its fullness. The atmosphere around about you will change daily, because each day there's a new anointing. Each day there's a new mist of my glory that I'm going to bring upon your lives. No more old, constantly new. Newness of life is what I am bringing on my people. You will not walk the same as you walked before. New path, new mountains to conquer, souls to be brought into my kingdom. Fasten your seat belts, for we are going on a whirlwind ride like you've never been on before. Catch the wind and flow with me. My glory is in the wind. I'm just hearing God say, envy and guilt must depart from all of my children. You cannot be envious of another's anointing, and you cannot carry the guilt of yesterday into the brand new day. envy and guilt is destroyed in your lives. Now move on in freshness, newness of life, and compel the sinners to come into the house of the Lord. God's just saying, some of you have been on a seesaw too long, and he's pulling you off of that seesaw and planting you, your feet on solid ground. It's from that place of expectancy that God is going to do the great and powerful works that he said he was going to do. Nancy, did you or somebody spray some sort of fragrance up here, like jasmine or something like that? Nobody else smells it? When God was given that prophetic word, it kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So I didn't know if it was coming out of the vent or if it was the presence of God, because he said we would start to smell his presence, right? God's on the move. I'm not concerned about what's going on in other churches. I'm concerned about what's going on in its midst. What is God doing with us? And he's moving in a mighty way. Let's not want what others have. Let's want what God has for us. Are you listening this morning? There's a whole lot of things that God is trying to do through his people. But can he get it done? Yeah, there's where it all lies. Can he get it done? Are you tired of just playing the game? And are you really ready to get really serious with the Father and allow him to take you into that deep place that he wants to take you into? You know, God, I was trying to see what God wanted me to teach, and he said, I want you to tell the people we're living in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, doom to you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness in place of light and light in place of darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that what's going on around about us today? Exactly that. And I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of having things shoved down my throat that are not godly. Well, I don't even want godly things shoved down my throat. I want to experience godly things through the Spirit. There's so much darkness covering the earth, especially when it comes to our children. Well, as I sought God's face, okay, now you gave me that. Now what? He said, just, I want you to teach in Isaiah chapter 5. So we're going to read some scripture here this morning. Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now let me, this is God talking. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. That's you and I. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, God said, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? He's talking about you and I. He ministered to us, you know, and he tended us, and he pruned us, and did everything he could to make us bring forth good fruit. But we've been bringing forth bad fruit. The church has. And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Now look what God's going to do. I will take away its hedges, its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judea are his pleasant plant. God's been really dealing with his church for a decade now. He's been pruning us, and he's been showing his grace. What have we brought forth? Have we brought forth good fruit or bad fruit? He looked for justice, and behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. Woe to those who join house to house. They add field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly, many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and an omer of seed shall yield one ephah. You know, as I was reading it, look at the beautiful homes in California. They're just slid down over the mountain. And when I was watching, I said, how terrible. But God says right here, they're not going to have their homes no more. If you want to serve the world, well, then go ahead and serve the world, because you're not going to end up with anything good. You know, as you read the word, you read what people, no, no, put it this way, as you read how people take the word and twist it to suit their sin, it is awful. I spent 3 days reading and studying and how they twist sin to make it look good is terrible. And people, because they want to stay in sin, say, that's the word, that's truth, and they run with it. We can't do that, guy. We know too much. We've been under too much anointing to play games with God. We can't do half truth. We have to do whole, complete truth. The reason why you can't win anybody to Christ is because they watched you play games with God, and they don't like your games. They'd rather play their own games, where they win all the time and they don't have to give up anything. Verse 11 says, woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute and wine are in their feast, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, Sheol, or hell, has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. Once saved, always saved is not the truth. I didn't look up all these scriptures. I preached just over and over and over again. You cannot get out there and wallow in sin and still go to heaven. It just isn't going to work. And you know, I've really labored over this because, said God, I don't want to discourage anybody, but yet I have to continue to speak the truth. Sin is sin, and it'll take you to hell. And God has made a way of escape. And we don't need to stay in our sins. And too many of us are just like me. We're wondering what we've done wrong that we can't win other souls to Christ. It's not our job to win them to Christ. It's our job to teach them the word. Walk out what we teach in front of them, and then what they do with what they see and hear is totally up to them. And if you're like me, I've beat myself up so many times. What have I done wrong, Father God, that the people don't stay saved? Are you listening to this? People don't stay saved. They either come to the altar or sit in their seats or whatever they do, and they say all the right things, but they don't stay saved. And God's upset about that. Verse 15 says, people shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But by working justice, God of the angel armies will be a mountain. And God of the angel armies is God. By working righteousness, holy God will show what holy is. Why do you think America is going through what they're going through? Because they're not honoring God. And God told us over 20 years ago that things are happening right now. We're going to happen. Why? He said, because the church will not stay free from sin. They are not doing their job. I don't care how good your pastor is. If your pastor is in sin, then they need to step down. I just read yesterday where one of the guys in Maverick, or Chris Brown and him, it's Maverick, isn't it? They made him step down because he was singing songs, but yet he was singing ungodly songs outside the church. And they told him, we don't do that here. You either live for God or you don't live for God. So he stepped down for a season, trying to get his life together. And see, this is the reason why there's so much sin in the house of God, is we don't set people down. We let them go on sinning. Well, we have to show them grace, which we do that. We show them grace. We show them love. We show them, you know, patience, endurance, whatever. But I was telling Tracy, and somewhere along the line, you have to stand up for your own self. I can't take you to heaven. I can't set you free. There, you know, you got yourself into sin. I know, in ignorance. But now you have to work hard. It's so much easier to get in sin than it is to get out of sin. And everyone in here, if you're a leader of any type, you need to be living a holy life. And when you go to minister, you need to minister holiness. And you can't split hairs. Well, that's my friend. And okay, when you stand before God and he'll say, why didn't you tell your friend that what they were doing is wrong? He's going to judge you for that. Don't ever forget that. God told me, he said, I'm going to judge you for everyone that you don't tell that they're in sin. Somebody has to say they're wrong somewhere along the line. We are not supposed to have yes men or women in the body of Christ. We're supposed to have men and women in the body of Christ who says, I want to see you go to heaven. I'm concerned about your soul. And I'm hearing God say, some of you in here, there's a magnitude of this that you're not grasping yet because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. God's going to bring that back on you. Verse 17 said, and lambs will graze as if they owned the place, kids and calves. So when God's going to bring holiness, he's going to show you what holiness is. And after he does that, he said that, and lambs will graze if they owned the place, kids and calves right at home in the ruins. In other words, kids, you know, God's going to bring holiness. And even if things around about you are ruined, you're still going to be happy in that midst. because God has finally cleansed an area. And 18, doom to you who use lies to sell evil, who haul sin to market by the truckload, who say, what's God waiting for? Let him get a move on so we can see it. Whatever the Holy of Israel has cooked up, we'd like to check it out. In other words, the sinners are saying, okay, your God is so great, let him show me how great he is. God's not going to do that to you. You have his word. You have his Holy Spirit. You have his grace and his mercy. You have so much you can pull on to help you be free of the sin nature. You know, the reason why the glory doesn't drop the way God wants it to is because there's too much sin in the body of Christ in the houses. And God said if he dropped it, it would kill the people. Are you listening? How great is the glory that's dropping right now? We have the glory right here. I'm not worried about what's going on over yonder. But how much glory can God drop into a church? It doesn't take the whole church to be right for the glory to drop. God showed me that here in the last couple of days. It just takes the leader to be right. When he called you, he didn't call everybody in this room. You didn't even know the people in this room. But he called you and anointed you. And then the sin, and then you have to be working to make sure you're right with God. And God kept saying to me, I'm waiting on you, daughter. See, I thought everybody in this room had to be right before God could come with great signs, wonders, and miracles. And he was just, which we got this right this week. He was waiting to me to say, okay, and God told me, daughter, it's just you and I. Nobody else, just you and I. And that's how I started, God and me. And he keeps saying, I'm waiting on you. So this week I got along with God every day, and we talked this out. And see, God just waiting on me to understand I don't need all of you or any of you to get right. I just need to trust God that he's still using me. Are you understanding this? And one time, you know, when I was first called, my household was a mess. It's still a mess. And, you know, the pastor told me, you shouldn't be up here preaching. I took it to God. And you know what God said? I didn't call them. I called you. So all I had to be concerned about was keeping myself right. I'm saying this to you to tell you this. You don't have to be concerned about anybody else in your family. It's just you. You keep yourself right. You do what God's telling you to do. All right? And another thing is, I'm going to teach you sometime here, is I was reading about the disciples. They were all unlearned and uneducated men. They didn't have degrees. Jesus just walked along and said, hey, come follow me. I believe I'm going to teach it. And so when I was first called and I went to get ordained, they said, what kind of credentials do you have? I said, what are you talking about? Well, what colleges have you attended? Your Bible college. I said, I haven't been away to Bible college. Then what gives you the right to think that we should ordain you? You don't have the right credentials. I said, I've been to college, but not Bible college. And so he wasn't going to ordain me. He really embarrassed me, but his wife said, I want everything to stop. The Holy Spirit's here, and she is called of God. Now you ordain her now. It was a pastor's wife. And the glory of God hit that stage, and that pastor started weeping, and he ordained me, and then he treated me like I should have been treated, like a human being, and not like a piece of junk that didn't know what I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew I was called of God. And I didn't even want to be ordained, but they said, in order for you to have the church, you have to be ordained. Somebody has to be ordained. I'm telling you this. I said that to say this. Don't worry about your credentials. God will come on the scene and God will show what your credentials are. Don't think you have to go away to Bible college and get men's doctrines. And thank God to me, I don't want you to go to Bible college. My Holy Spirit's going to teach you. And when the Holy Spirit teaches you, you don't have to worry about a thing, because you don't have all man's doctrines inside of you. In your mind, all you have is the Holy Spirit. And He teaches you the truth. All right? All right, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's what those men and women were acting like when I was trying to be ordained, like they were so much greater than I was. They were. You know, I was just on the bottom, trying to do what God was telling me to do. But what does God say? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men violent for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. You'd be surprised how many pastors are alcoholics. But yet they sit behind a pulpit and they preach. I don't know what they preach. God says, don't be an alcoholic. Don't be mixing wine. You know, I've never drank anything in my life. And do you know, for one whole month a year ago, I fought wanting to go out and buy some wine. I thought, why am I, you know, you know what that was? That was the devil trying to entice me into starting drinking. I mean, I have never drank anything in my life. But for what, I mean, it was real. It was as real as I'm sitting here. I get awake at night wanting to go buy wine. And I knew it was of the devil, and I had to fight. I didn't call somebody else and say, look, you pray for me. I had to fight. It was me that the devil was after. It was me he was trying to get to become an alcoholic, not whoever was going to pray for me. But I fought for one whole month. And finally, it went away just as quick as it came. Are you listening? So what does God bring? I mean, what does the devil bring your way that you've never done in your life? He brings it your way to entice you, and you might give in to it. Think about it. We judge people who do drugs, but how many of you tried them? Or was even on them one time? I don't judge an alcoholic. I don't judge a drug addict. I feel very sorry for him. And but for the grace of God, go I. You know, the devil brought the drugs in and the alcohol in, and we didn't do anything about it until now it's really gotten out of hand, and now we're all of a sudden saying, we've got to do something. We should have been doing something all along, and that something should have been praying for those who were bound, not judging them. Where am I at? 24. Therefore, as the Bible devours a stubble and the flame consumes a chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust. We're talking about sinners. Because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Verse 25 says, therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them. And the hills trembled, their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You know, God's still upset with the church, but his hands are, he said, come on, you know, just reach out, take my hand. You know, God told me years ago that Isaiah 54 was my chapter, and I could stand on that. And one part of that says that, you know, for a season I was upset with you, but I'm not upset with you anymore. And I was so glad about that. because I knew he was upset. How many of you know God has gotten upset with you? If he hasn't gotten upset with you, praise God, because you don't want him to get upset with you. See, some of you think you're so righteous and, you know, and you can't even see that you have a problem. We all have friends like that. We might be like that. We think we're all that and then some. And we don't really see our own flaws. Verse 26 says, he will lift up a banner to the nations from afar and will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed swiftly. No one will be weary or stumble among them. No one will slumber or sleep, nor will the belt on their loins be loosed, nor the strap of their sandals be broken. God has raised a standard over America. God told me years ago that America was Babylon. I got kicked out of the church for telling that to the pastor. But they've proven it now that America is Babylon. Don't worry about what people are going to say about you. Do you hear God's voice? And don't be deceived. Do you really hear God's voice, or are you hearing your own voice? Do not be deceived. Make sure that you're taking everything to God, constantly keeping yourself clean. We, you know, guys, you know, you too, Neil, you have a message to take to a church that's dying. The body of Christ is dying, and they're walking away from God every day. And if we don't stand our ground and say, you know, what you're doing is wrong, so what if you lose a friend? You're not going to lose your salvation. And God's going to ask you one day, why didn't you do this? He already asks me that now, and I really don't want to say something to somebody. He's saying, their blood's going to be in your hands. You have to tell the truth. And I really believe if every one of us in here this morning would really settle down with God and know who we are in Christ Jesus, live a holy life, then we'd be able to go out there and talk to the church even. Because God said, this is the season where the prodigals are going to come back home. Many who have left the church, even pastors, are going to come back. And when they look you in the eyes, what are you going to say to them whenever they say, why didn't you tell me that what I was doing was wrong? I don't need you to like me. I need to find favor with my Father in heaven. So if you get upset with me when I tell you the truth, that's not my fault. I'm just a messenger from God. I'm concerned about your soul. So don't let that be a hindrance to you. You have to tell the truth. All right, we're talking about these... we said God will lift up a banner to the nations from afar and will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed swiftly. And verse 28 says, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, the horses' hooves will seem like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring will be like a lion. They will roar like young lions. Yes, they will roar and lay hold of the prey. They will carry it away safely, and no one will deliver. In that day, they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold, darkness and sorrow and light is darkened by the clouds. These people that God's calling forth right now are going to fight the enemy. He said their bows are already bent. And we just read all that. They're not going to be like the church. They're going to be these people out on the street who have been homeless, who have been hurt. They know what it is to be just about crucified. And whenever we finally witness to them and they come into the house of the Lord, they're going to be so upset with the devil that the devil's going to run. from them because he knows that they know the truth and they've been set free from their bondages. We, you know, somebody that we know came into my home a week ago and they said, I was never humbled before, but I was on the streets in Wilmington, Philly, and he says, I got beat up, I got robbed. He said, it was the worst time of my life. He said, I am now humble and I'm ready to stop that wildlife. We took him in off the street again for about the fifth time. But he always knew where to come. We always get the telephone call. And this time he said, can I please come? No, he said, will you please come pick me up? And then the behavior place where he was called us back said, will you please put him up? I said, sure. These people want safety. They want to feel secure, and they don't see that in the house of God. There's too much sin in the house of God. Too much of what they're living in is in the house of God. And there's no safety in the house of God. We have a sign out there saying the house of refuge, because God told us to put that up there. That means if anybody is hurting or in any way, shape, or form, they can come through those doors, and we are a hospital, and we heal them. We don't kick them. Are you listening? A lot of churches don't do that, you know. And sometimes I have to get on you guys because you don't do it right either. Come on, because we're not perfect. Are you really ready to be a vessel of honor that God can work through? If you, this is what God has sent. If you are, your season of being sent is opened right now, today. He's going to break the doors wide open and he's going to send you forth. If you're really ready to live in total holiness and really ready to tell the people the truth. You know, I'm very quick to say that's going to take you to hell. My family gets mad at me about that when people come into the house, because there are a lot of drug addicts come to my house. I said, that kind of stuff's going to take you straight to hell because I've been ministering to them for years. Why do you use those words? What other word would you like me to use? You going to the toilet? You know, they're not going to heaven. I mean, that gets their attention. And I don't do it to be ignorant. I don't want them to go to hell. My wish for you today is that God would take you to hell. Not dead. Take you to hell like he did me and let you see exactly what's going to happen to any soul that goes there. And believe me, you'll preach holiness, you'll live holiness, and you'll cry out to God day and night, don't let them go to hell. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody deserves to go there. And if you think they deserve to go there, stop and think of what you've done in your lifetime and where do you really deserve to be. All right, verse 30 says, in that day they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. We read that, didn't we? I don't want to go into false teachers right now. I'm going to teach that later. What time is it? 20 after. What I just want to throw out there at you, I don't want you to be a false teacher. That's why I was going to read that next. We'll do that tonight. I just want you to understand one thing. We are living in Isaiah 5:20. Where good is bad and bad is good, you know. Now, where do you stand? Where do you stand? You know, this homosexuality and lesbianism just drives me to distraction. I spent 2 days studying it, and I can't believe how some writers convince themselves that that's not a sin. We all have sin in our life in some way, shape, or form. Denial's a sin, you know. When you deny that you aren't someplace that you are. How serious are you at being a vessel that God can send forth? How serious are you? I know some of you sitting in here, God spoke things over you, and I said, God, they didn't come to pass. He said, no, because they weren't ready for them to come to pass yet. There's things in their lives that they have to get right. Just like I had to get right with the fact I thought y'all had to be saved before God could drop his glory. And a lot of people are waiting for the glory to drop, and then the glory will change them. Well, won't you be shocked when it doesn't? And you'll be standing there just looking at everybody else receiving, and you didn't receive. God always told me, nobody's going to hang on to your skirt or something like that. In other words, just sit here until the glory drops, and then they just wallow in the glory too. It's not going to work. God's looking for workers. Are you a worker? Are you working at your salvation? Are you truly working at making sure you're set free and your family's set free, or your friends in the church are set free? Are you really working and seeking God's face for salvation for anybody? You know, somebody built this big, beautiful home at the end of my lane, and they were building it as they had the money. It's a big, beautiful home. And the guy had a heart attack, died. And then the lady, you know, in her mourning, she wasn't working on the house. So then, of course, all the drug addicts and the alcoholics needed money. So they went in there and did all kind of junk to inside that beautiful home. And it's been sitting vacant, I think, for 3 years. I pray for that house every day. I pray God. Well, then the woman had a car accident right after that, and she was laid up. I pray for that house every day, for that woman, so that she can get that house back together, so she can fulfill her and her husband's dream. I pray for things like that. Years ago, there was down here by the drugstore, there was a housing project started, and a man ran out of money. And everybody was saying they knew he'd fail, and, you know, because my daughter's in construction. I prayed for that every day. I said, God, give him money to start back up again. He didn't. He built, not only that, he built two more. See, do you pray for things like that? Do you even think about things like that? Or are you too engulfed in your own self? Saints, this is things you're going to have to, if you're really going to walk, and some of you might not ever come back again. I can't help that. These are things you're going to have to get right if you're going to be a true vessel that God can work through. You're going to have to get all this junk out of your life. You know, if you're a glutton, you're a sinner. You need to get that eating under control. Not by pill either. You got to learn to turn your plate over, put down your fork, whatever you have to do. This isn't hard. It really isn't. This is facts. We're wondering how America got like this. If you're really seeking God's face, he'll tell you it's because the church didn't do their part. You know, there's somebody who thinks I'm of the devil. They think that I have a cult. Do you know how much I had to fight against that every day? You know, if you're a true leader, there's going to be doubts come into your mind without anybody accusing you of anything. And then when they start accusing you, and you had to fight that. Nobody else can fight my mind. Sometimes I get awake at night crying out to God about it. I've had a dream about it. God, please don't let me lose my salvation over this. Are you listening to this? You know, people yield themselves to the devil every second of every day, and then he uses them to destroy you. You're going to have to fight that. God's been telling us to fight the good fight of faith, has he not? What have you been fighting? You've been fighting the good fight of faith, you've been fighting people.